with regard to the review, are there any sacred cows? Will there be any elements of the Labor Party organisation and constitution that might be up for review?
It's not about this, the review of the organisation, it's not a review of the constitution that will likely become later. But what we're looking at is trying to reinvigorate the party as much as we possibly can. As Moira said, it is an open review. It's looking at all members having an input, and actually wider than that, other people are able to contribute through internet and other things as well. So we'll be looking at that, at everything the Labor Party in terms of the way forward and learning from whatever we can to move forward.
You're going to reinvigorate, surely, the constitution, which is reasonably historic, if I may use the term, should also be looked at it as well.
We're looking at what are the things that need to change, and then if there were rule change that we needed to do that go with that, that's what we're doing this time around. We're not getting buried internally in a long debate about constitution. So if there are rule changes that are needed, yes, they will go through the conference. But this isn't fundamentally a constitutional review, it's an organisational review.
What we didn't want to have happen is we get buried in remits and rules and things without actually taking a look at the bigger picture. And as Moira says, once that's been done, and we think there's some elements of the constitution that are in a sense don't fit with the way that we think the Labor Party should go, at that point we'll go back and take a look at the constitution. But it has to go in that order, it can't go in another order.
But might not that be a criticism of the Labor Party at the moment? It does get buried in remits and paperwork and interest groups, and that's all I know for.
Well, we're not intending to do that. We're doing form follows function.
The leadership contest at the end of last year obviously created a lot of interest within the party. And is that a question you're asking about whether, you know, for the future leadership changes should go beyond that, not only just have that opportunity for the contenders to talk to party members, but give party members the opportunity to actually have a say in who is the leader?
It will undoubtedly be part of what people submit on, so I think it could come up in several, as I said, we've got big open questions, but I think it could come up in the engagement one, the getting the best representation one, but it will undoubtedly be there.
When you talk about the reinvigoration of the party, what about the older MPs in the party, the people who have been around for a long time? If you get the message that some of these people have to go to sack, is that going to affect how the list is selected?
There's no reason that discussion. Yes, it's likely that people will give their opinions about the list. We need to wait and hear what those opinions are.
Is it a concern for a party trying to reinvigorate that you've got so many MPs who have been around for so long?
I think we've got a lot of new MPs who are extremely strong. Listening to the maiden speeches last week, I was extremely proud of the four people who were coming in. And the intake before that, I think we brought in a really significant number of young, skilled MPs, and you've seen them move quickly through the party. So I think we've got a really good succession planning taking place.
What about policy? How much of this will involve looking at some of those policies that were controversial or big changes like before the election?
This isn't about policy. Policy will follow later. This is about the organisation and how we can rebuild the party and to be a lean, in a sense, energised party that can get out there and with a broad membership. It's exciting, it's progressive, and can excite people and get out there and win the election in 2014.
So does that mean you're just going to avoid that policy issue?
Well, the policy is a completely separate process, and we won't be looking at policy, certainly not for the coming months anyway.
Yeah, we've got a three-year program that's really democratic, that looks at our policy formation. This is a short looking at our organisational review so that we get on and have an action plan that we implement in terms of strong organising. So it's a different time frame from our policy making process.
How do you ensure that this doesn't degenerate into a talk fest? Because the Labor Party is a broad church and has a lot of competing interests.
Well, it has to come together. I mean, there's some set deadlines in the review process. There's a review project team which will be running it. We've got a group of outside people that we will be referring to as well, and there are set dates in which there has to be some output. So I don't see this as dragging on or whatever. It actually has to come up with the results or the dates that we've actually set out.
But you're confident you could bring the party as a whole together through this process and out the other side unified?
Well, I think the key thing about the party is obviously having just lost an election, but then just being at the same time, the energy that I saw when we were going around during the leadership competition, the contest, was really showed me that there was a real drive, a real desire by people to see a Labor Party that really reflected what they wanted and grew and was able to get out there. So there's a real desire to make this thing work. And clearly, everybody's not going to agree with everything. That's the nature of the business. But I do think that we will get to a point where we've got a much stronger organisation than we had a few months ago.
Beyond two caucus members, there doesn't seem to be much of a role for caucus in this. Is that deliberate, or is...
Well, the organisation is the responsibility of the party, so that's where, in any political party, an organisational review would sit. So caucus will be updated on it, they'll feed into it, but it is a party review.
But the other thing about this is that on the ground, there's a whole series of meetings that I'm going to try and get to as many as I can. Grant is, Moira definitely is, and they're going to be meetings that will be held in electorates or in regions where there are going to be MPs and perhaps former candidates who are going to be feeding into that. So it happens at a couple of levels, both at the caucus level, as Moira said, but also at the grassroots level as well.
And if you look at project group and the advisory group, you'll see that there are ex-members of Parliament with really significant party experience included in there.
There's a lot of like minds though there. You look at Tim Barnett, so on, how it drops at Sam. Any danger that this might turn into an echo chamber?
I don't think so. I mean, if I look at those people and you had them in the room here, I can guarantee that you'd have significant disagreement about things as well. So, no, I don't think so at all. There's no risk of that.
And we're also going internationally, and I'm going over to Australia in a few weeks' time to speak to Peter Hayne, who did the British review. So we're certainly wanting to get the best input into this review that we can.
How
were
the people like Sean Pellett and Rob Salmon approached about going on?
Well, specifically to bring that wider perspective, Rob is a person who's got a really up-to-date understanding, and we want this to be an evidence-based review. Rob's an academic who's up with the international evidence around what works politically, so we want him to bring that in. Sal Pellett's a person who leads very effective organisations and has an international perspective on that, and I'm quite sure we'll be challenged by Sal Pellett. Yeah. Mm.
Will you be going to the Australian
Labor Party? Yeah, I was going to say that. We'll know it, but we'll know who to go to.
How do you get over the perception that Labor's run by unionists when you've got, well, most of your members are union affiliates, if you're not sort of working on membership? How do you?
I think this has been sort of overstated, and I'll let Moira speak about this as well. I mean, when people talk about, for example, the selection of the listers, I think there's 36 on the moderating committee, 36. Two of them are union affiliate members. When you sort of look at it, I think that's been overplayed. They're certainly an important part of the Labor Party, and always have been, but in terms of their influence, I think that pretty much everybody wants to get the best result for the Labor Party, and that includes, and everybody obviously has their own particular perspective, but that's the overriding perspective and the goal of what we're trying to do here.
So
it's
more perception that you have to change?
I think so. Yeah, I think we've moved past that as a party. But look, there'll be things that come up in this review that we're going to have to take a look at, and that's great. I mean, I think it's going to be important that those things are raised.
You're largely talking to members and you're not discussing policy. How is this going to change anything for the public face of the Labor Party when you're trying to get past that 2017 in the last election?
Well, I think we do have a real task ahead of us in terms of the organisation. Without an effective organisation, you can't win an election. It's very, very simple. So we're doing that. At the same time, obviously, as we're looking at a whole bunch of different things around our policy, and as Moira said, that will continue on over the coming months and into the 2014 election. But we're not going to be making policy up on the hoof over the next few weeks. I mean, that's not part of what we're doing here. But what we will be trying to communicate to people is that Labor's taking a really good look at itself, the way it's organised, the way that it's perceived, giving everybody an opportunity to actually have a say in the way where and how Labor should go forward. So from the point of view of public perception, what they should see is a very open review and a very honest looking at ourselves and asking ourselves the difficult questions.
How effective do you rate the party organisation at the moment?
I think it would be a lot better than it is at the moment.
That's right.
Well, I think we need more people on the ground, for example. You know, just one simple example. In an election, you need people who are out there organising and helping you do whatever you're doing, delivering pamphlets, knocking on doors, doing the grassroots sort of stuff. So from that point of view, I would love to see, you know, two or three times more people who are willing to do that, either as members or in some sort of support role.
But won't that depend not so on how great the organisation looks, but in terms of what people believe the Labor Party stands for?
Absolutely. This review is the organisational review that sits under the important work that David and the parliamentary team are doing, which is that reconnecting with New Zealanders. So we're not talking about this as a way of reconnecting with New Zealanders. This is our party review to get our organisational machine really strong and ready for the next election. But it sits underneath David and the team connecting around New Zealand and articulating who we are and what we stand for strongly.
But in that terms, though, will the organisational view, though, as part of that, look at the relationship with caucus? Because clearly the feeling that you talk to it sometimes to grassroots party members is, in fact, they have little say in policy and what's really so.
Yep, we're intending it to be at all levels of the party, so locally, regionally, the kind of things we need to be doing smartly in an MMP campaign, and centrally.
Why was Nanaia chosen as the caucus member for this project then?
Because it's really important. You know, the Māori seats have particular organisational challenges. They're huge, and there are some particular things about our Māori voters, and so we really need to take a good hard look at campaign, and there's turnouts and a particular issue in our Māori seats, so we really need to have a focus as part of the review on effective campaigning in our Māori seats.
What will the project team actually do?
They will go around and do the consultations, they will prepare the draft reports, they will identify what other evidence and information we need to be feeding into the review and do the analysis of that. So they really lead in the consultation and the report writing that goes to New Zealand Council.
Because now it's front bench with COVID.
That's right. And we weighed that up pretty carefully, but we did want to have a person who really understands the Māori seats involved.
But you've got Kei Kura as well on the advisory group.
That's right. Well, I've said to you, we think that the Māori seats are important for us to have a strong organisation, and so we want to look particularly at that.
If it's about revitalising and reorganising, aren't some of the newer junior MPs part of this on these teams? Is it about taking party forward? Why aren't some of these newer faces?
I mean, there's no reason other than the fact that many of these people here have got a huge amount of experience. And I don't think these people here are backward-looking people. In fact, the complete opposite. They're actually forward-looking people in the way that they want to take the Labor Party forward.
We're also hoping that young Labor's going to play a really strong role in this. They've got lots of ideas and they're really busting to get involved. So
we want to put them on the project team. If they've got strong ideas that you want, that you're looking for, why not put them in a senior position where they can actually make your voices heard more effectively?
Well, we have got young Labor representation on New Zealand Council, which is where the report's going to, so they certainly make their views very clear there.
David Chair, what are you making as plans to announce some welfare reform today? What are your thoughts on that?
I've only seen what I've read in the media about what might come up, but it does seem to be a bit of a reheat of what we already saw last year. I don't see anything specifically new, but we'll wait obviously to see the report when it comes out.
What about welfare reform in general? Do you see a need for change in the way that we administer welfare?
But the key issue about welfare in New Zealand is that everybody, I believe, would want to see make sure that people are cared for when they need that care. But they also want to see the other side, which is the responsibility. When you're being supported by in a welfare situation, that there is a responsibility to move off that and to be self-sustaining and to move back into, for example, productive work. So those two sides of things, I think, are the important aspects of any welfare reform.
So you support the direction that Nation is going in?
I think that I want to see what they've come up with today before we come to any conclusion. But definitely, what I'd like to see is the opportunities for people to get off a welfare situation as much as easily as they can, and getting them to get into a productive working environment.
But you sound very much like John Key of War of Vienna, with the general sort of tone and approach. So do you think
the issue in that is opportunity. And the issue really is being able to get from where people are today and get them into a situation where they are self-sustaining in good jobs. Now, the opportunity is how you do that. That's in the form of training, which I actually think is lacking. It's in the form of jobs, which there are very few of out there. So while we can talk about that at the moment, the opportunities to move from that place to this place are lacking.
But when you mentioned responsibility before, I mean, do you think that there are mothers on the DPB who could take more responsibility themselves for getting off welfare in New Zealand?
I think there are people who, if given the right opportunities, would be able to go and take on training in different roles. And if they are able to do that, then that would be fantastic if they can move on to that. But obviously, you're also going to be played out against a mother looking after a child or children and giving those children the best start they possibly can in life, and that's also very, very important as well.
So just coming, I mean, do you think there's a need for some change in the way that we monitor people or to see them take more responsibility?
I go back to the point that I was making before, that basically what we see and what we need is an opportunity for people to be able to take more responsibility for themselves. They are unable to be able to do that by themselves.
So what would you like to see put in place for that to happen?
First of all, I'd like to see a lot more jobs in the job market at the moment. For many people, there are simply no jobs out there. I'd like to see a lot more training opportunities for people. And I'm thinking, for example, of young people. 83,000 young people under the age of 25 who are not in training and not in work. Where are the opportunities for those people? And they're the people, if they don't get into the same patterns of early in their life, are going to be unemployed for a longer period of time. So those are the sorts of things that I'd like to see. And one of the things that I particularly liked, for example, in our last policy in the last election was providing employers with the equivalent of the Dole money as an encouragement to take people on as an apprentice. That seemed to be a really good idea. I would certainly ask the government to take a look at some of those ideas.
So that's one policy that you'll hold on to?
I certainly think it's one of the policies that we were very happy with. As I've said before, all our policies are on the table, and there might be tweaks and changes that we might want even to make with that to improve it.
Do you think there's some people in this country on the benefit who should just be made to get off, who just shouldn't be on it, who should just find a way of getting them off it?
I think there are some people in New Zealand who, given the right opportunity, could actually make a much better contribution, both for the economy and for themselves.
The government would be actively discouraging women on the DPB from having another child on the board.
I mean, this starts to get into, I think, into a very, very difficult area, and I wouldn't want to comment on individual cases. So I would say that certainly with women, and I think it's not only just with women on DPB, but women who take time out of their working life, perhaps often to raise children, the transition back into the workforce is difficult. And looking at ways in which we could help those that transition happen would be a very good thing.
What about the policy to extend working for families to beneficiaries? I mean, do you think that alienated the people it was originally targeted at, you know, low-income working people, to actually differentiate them from the benefit?
I think with that policy and many of the other policies that I've been looking at, we're going to be taking a very close look at that.
And over
the coming weeks, and you will be hearing more from me around that. But right now, looking at each individual policy, we could do all day today. I'm not going to go down that track at the moment.
But just on that policy, Jane's talking about, what about welfare in general? Is that something that the Labor Party will look at, you know, not in the coming weeks, but in the next year or so? Will we see Labor address its welfare policy beyond the Working for Families tax credit into the wider area?
We're certainly going to be taking a close look at our welfare policies, and our economic development policies as well. And you'll see that sort of coming out in various speeches as time goes on. Definitely, yes.
Do you think we spend far too much on welfare? Would you like to see us spend more?
I'd like to see us spend more money on getting people into work, of those people who are able to work. And that includes particularly these young people that I was talking about. Young people, I just think we're at a situation right now where if we don't address that, we've got a sort of a ticking time bomb that will impact right through for perhaps a generation or more.
Thank you.